I think you're going to be so blessed to hear what the Lord has put within our family, Pastor, in the way of building people and then repairing the generations. So would you put your hands together this morning and welcome our family pastor, Annie Lahon. Go get him, eh?
Okay. All right. Did I do this right? Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen,
weird.
Amen.
That's so weird. Okay. I am super honored to have the opportunity to get to share with all of you this morning. It's so interesting that Pastor just was talking about Nehemiah, because whenever I sat with the Lord about what I was to share, I knew that I wanted to for sure share. Sorry, I've got all the things I need to arrange myself. That I for sure wanted to share the scripture that the Lord gave me that led to all of this happening, because I didn't set out to be in this position. The Lord kind of moved some things around and made this happen, and I'm just as surprised as you guys are. But I want to for sure share that with you, and I also want to introduce myself and my husband, and I've got some slides for that. But when I sat with the Lord, he had me in Nehemiah, and he gave us Nehemiah at Prayer Shield. I don't remember how long ago it's been. But one of the things, the first things that happens is Nehemiah, who is a cupbearer for a king, is he receives news of the broken down walls from where he's from. And he is like moved, like not just, oh, that's really sad news, like dislike on Facebook, you know, like sad face. No, like something happened inside of Nehemiah where he was not only like saddened to hear about the destruction, but it interrupted his life. And he couldn't do his daily activities anymore. Like, he was a cupbearer with the king, and so that meant that he got to taste his wine and hand it to the king. And the king notices, like, your face, you're sad. Like, why are you sad? And your sadness is starting to bother me. Why are you so downcast? And Nehemiah shares with the king that he just can't be joyful because he knows of the destruction of this city. And I feel like the Father has been doing that in my heart for years. And I don't know if any of you have, if any of you were here when the Lord had given me this word about the mothers and fathers in the body of Christ, not just Grace Church, but in the body of Christ, that they were to arise. And it was super powerful. I think it was maybe 3 years ago, because shortly after this word that the Lord had given me, where people would no longer have their needs for development unmet, and that people wouldn't be isolated and suffering alone in the body of Christ. Like, we're not just getting saved and then like, hope you figure it out. Like, join our club and volunteer. As soon as that had happened, like I released that word, the enemy came really strong to steal my voice. And I actually stopped prophesying for about a year and a half as a result of it, because I watched like what happened. I got off the stage and I heard in the back of my head, like, that's nice that you did that, but I'm coming after your friends and family. And I heard, and I mean, like, I felt gross and it was like, what is this? And I mean, I watched like dominoes falling. People I was very close to that I loved dearly, their lives started falling apart. And what I didn't do was then have the maturity to sit with the Lord about it, or say, hey, like, what's your exchange for this? Because he's obviously coming to intimidate me because we're partnering together. But I stopped prophesying and I stopped getting into the word to be able to release what he had put in me to release. And it's been an unfolding, and through discipleship, and I'm going to share some of that today, that the Father has restored my voice. And I believe that the reason he's given me a voice is to give voice to others. And we won't let the enemy intimidate us. Like, he doesn't have the authority, and we can get excited about that. So I thought it was really exciting that you're talking about Nehemiah, because what I'm asking the Father for this morning is for a holy interruption for all of you. because it's not just me, it's all of us in the body of Christ that are called to be a mother or a father to those that are growing in their relationship with Jesus. And we're going to talk about that, but to find out like that the city walls are broken down, like this is our problem, and we build in front of our own house. And that's how what hadn't happened in decades in Nehemiah's day. Everybody was hopeless and they were downtrodden, like it's just this way. How many people have that kind of mentality about the Western church? It's just this way. We don't really make disciples. Nobody looks like Jesus. Who actually has the character of God? You know what I mean? Like, I've been guilty of saying these things. And there's this lie that the enemy wants to tell us, that the church doesn't have a place in our life for our development, and that we don't have an active role in rebuilding what the Father is wanting established in his family. Because what happened in Nehemiah, I did not plan on talking about this. What happened was they started building in front of their own homes. Like, they had a sword in one hand and they had the truth in what they were establishing, the building bricks, the blocks. They started building in front of their own homes instead of pointing their fingers at everybody else and saying, if you would just get your wall in order, my wall would be a lot easier to get in order. Like, we are going to be awakened to personal responsibility in the body of Christ. Like, we all have an active role to play. It will no longer be a pastor on a stage or like a delegated authority that it's their job to get my family well. Like, no, Jesus died so that he could rule and reign through us. And you guys have been given all authority through Christ Jesus to hear his voice and obey him and to get in his word and understand it and apply it and watch the kingdom come to your house. And it's going to happen. It is going to happen. So now that I've preached, I can't help it. I want to introduce myself. My name is Annie Lahan. This is my super handsome husband. We've been married for 9 years, and this scripture is the scripture that the Lord gave me whenever I prayed and asked the Father, like, what do I do with this guy? Should I marry him? But it's so crazy, because as I've grown in my relationship with the Lord, I've learned the scripture. Obviously, doesn't only apply in my relationship with my husband, but also in the body of Christ, because we're a family. And it's, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. And we've been on the journey together of learning what it means to lay down our lives for one another. And if anybody knows my highs and my lows and my imperfections and my humanity, it's my husband. And but we are called to have that kind of relationship. First, I believe, like, the health of our church is the health of our home, right? Like, if we are not well, I don't have any business, like, trying to go establish all the things elsewhere, right? Like, I'm passionate about healthy marriages, healthy homes, healthy families, and that's like my heartbeat and has been for a long time. Amen. So, this is whenever Matthew and I first were together. We had rededicated our lives to the Lord, and I had been away from the church for probably about a 3-year period where I was really wrestling out kind of what I was talking to you about before, like the cynicism about the church and like, well, I feel like there's a lot of things I'm required to do and be, but there's no way to do it. And I actually started to form God in my own image, right? Like, I walked away from him because it was like, if he put these desires in me, why didn't he give me the ability to deal with them, you know? And so I had walked away from the Lord, but he had been drawing me back. And the same with my husband, Matthew, like, we kind of came back into our relationship with the Father at the same time. And so we had rededicated our lives. And this is whenever we got baptized at the other church. Aren't we all so young? Look at Steve's hair. It's so dark. We all look so good. And then on the top left is whenever Matthew and I were married. Andrea Eden, which is your sister-in-law, correct, had invited us to come in and be Adam and Eve. so that the kids could interview us for Kids of Grace. And so that's what that is. Matthew, like, fashioned our clothing gloriously out of fig leaves. So that's a little bit of my history with the church. So in 2017, Gretchen Cannon had started a discipleship group out of obedience to the Father. And it had been on my heart, like I knew there's something else I need to be doing. Like I've been all about discovery groups. I've been all about whatever I can do to do this Jesus thing. I want to do the Jesus thing. And so I had been sitting with the Father one morning, and then she had asked me to come up and have a meeting with her. And I knew that it was my obedience to walk with her in discipleship. But at this point in time, I had a very limited scope of what discipleship means. Discipleship was then all about me. Like, it was to serve me, to make me good. I wasn't there to go and learn how to make disciples myself, like, to how then take what I'd been equipped with and help others. It was just, how do I behave better so I look better? I would have never said that, but ultimately that's where my heart was at. So this is 2017. You may recognize some of these beautiful faces. But discipleship has turned into disciple making. And disciple making is the foundation for every choice I make in my life. And I remember whenever I started hearing people talk this way, I was like, I can't get behind that. Like, why would I make every decision based on disciple making? But this is why. The Great Commission, which some of us have been beat with, so I apologize if you've been beat with the Great Commission or it's been a heavy burden on you, but I'm hoping to relieve some of the pressure this morning. Okay, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, his disciples, saying, 'All authority has been given to me.'" Given to who? Who is me? Jesus. That's right. "All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And so what I discovered was that the more I laid my life down and gave it to Jesus, the more I started to care about what he cared about. And it wasn't just about me becoming a good person or learning to behave well, but also making the freedom that he's given me available easily to those in my life. And so I have been walking with these beautiful women. Has it been a year, Rachel? Has it been a year? Okay. And this is my heart's passion, okay? But I don't want to just make disciples of women my age or the women that I walk with. I want to see every single person know how to easily access the Father, because Jesus paid everything for us to be reconnected to our dad. Like, he paid everything with his life for us to know him. And I'm so excited to talk about this. Okay. I'm going to slow down. So whenever you're in discipleship, one of the things that we do is, anybody heard Steve talk about eat the word? Have you guys heard that language? Okay. So what that looks like, and we're going to do a little bit of that if we have time, today with this scripture, supernaturally failing me with time, is we're going to look at what these words mean. But what the words mean inside of Matthew 28, then I wrote a letter that was what the Father was speaking to my heart because I had eaten the scripture. Does that make sense? Do my words make sense? Okay, this is what the Father had said to me. "Annie, I see so many children in cribs that have trained themselves not to cry anymore because their needs for family have not been met. They self-soothe their hunger pains, and they have been baptized in the name of the church, but not in the character and adoption of Christ. They haven't been cared for. They have been neglected. They long for mothers and fathers. Our hearts need awakened to motherhood and fatherhood, the joy of the expanding family, the time and the resources that we will invest. This is the kingdom. I feel alive and awakened with purpose. I feel the enemy losing ground. You are now awakened to personal responsibility. This is eternity. We have the joy of partnership and empowerment. And this is, I told you guys, like this has been churning in me, like Nehemiah with the cup at the king. Like, I don't know why I cannot get settled and just living my life the way I've been living. You've made me aware. So I also had a vision whenever I was eating the scripture. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but whenever children are in an orphanage and they're infants and there's not enough people to care for them, they will stop crying when they are hungry or they need changed, because they learn when they cry, no one comes. So they lay there in their own mess. They lay there unfed when they are hungry. And until there are enough hands to feed them or to change them or to clothe them, their needs go unmet. And I feel like the Father has broken my heart for his children. I was one of them. I didn't know. I didn't even know to cry anymore because I had just accepted that my flesh came out all the time. And I'm not a perfect person. I had a rough day yesterday. I was repenting this morning. But I've learned to at least recognize I'm sitting in a mess, you know, and that I'm not made for it. And through discipleship, we learn how to be washed with the water of the word to learn who we are, the authority that his word has. I mean, like going back to Matthew 28, we see all authority has been given to Jesus. When was all authority given to him? When he laid down his life. He laid down his life. He took up his cross. He followed his Father into his own suffering outside of what was comfortable for him. Because this is a problem in the American church. We don't want to lay down our lives. We want a program to serve us, entertain us, make us happy, give us candy. We want to do fun things, and I am about that. I love events. I think they're fun. I want to make memories with you and your children. But we have got to learn what it means to lay down our life. Because if we are going to walk out the call of looking like Christ, you guys, it can't be about just having fun. It can't be just about hearing the things that make us feel good all the time. Like, it's actually not love. It is not love if we do not learn what it means to look like Christ. Just like Jody said this morning, like, there is suffering involved that he promised. But the beauty of the gospel is we will never suffer alone, and we will never go through anything that he hasn't gotten all the authority for us to walk in authority through it, right? Like, let's bring the gospel. Whew, okay. Can you tell I love Jesus? Okay. Please change to this slide. Uh-oh. Is this that thing that you talk about? Gavin told me that I would be capable of doing this. I'm just going to talk to you guys. I'm going to just let that be the Lord. Okay, it did? Okay, so who is a disciple? You're good. It changed. But I appreciate your appearance. Okay, so a disciple is someone who abides, which creates a deep desire and a delight in walking in his ways. His ways are his character, and that we bear fruit. So, okay, this is how the Lord wholly interrupted my life. That's what I call it. I was doing lots of really great Christian things. Like, I'd worship, and I love to worship, and I love to prophesy. I love to take his word and release it. And I love, thank you. I love to do, like, small groups and all the things, like, all the things, right? But why is it that if you would have asked the person who is closest to me, my husband or my family, why would it be that if you asked them if I was bearing fruit, they might not know what to say? I mean, it's because I didn't abide, you guys. Like, I abided in activities, but not in him. And he showed me I avoid him because I didn't want to feel like I was bad. Like, ultimately, I was avoiding his word in the way that it could actually transform me because I didn't want to feel bad. So instead of actually going to the only one who could make me well, I would just do his things and hope he liked me. And I grew up at Grace Church, you guys. I know the identity message. Like, I can preach it myself. So how is it that somebody who knows their identity in Christ still had this thing down here? Because we can know something but not know something. Like, we can know something and not believe it. And how do we find out if we don't believe it? The fruit of our lives. The fruit of our lives. Like, are we patient? Are we kind? Are we long-suffering? Like, this is the fruit. It's not like, do a lot of people like our posts? Do a lot of people agree with us? I mean, did a lot of people agree with Jesus? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is the fruit of my life? And so I became so hungry, and it was like, I don't care what it takes, Lord. I don't care what it takes. You can take all my activities away. You can take all of my titles away. Like, I just want to look like you because I don't want to get to the end of my life. Like, you know the scripture that says, like, some of you prophesied in my name. Some of you cast out demons in my name, but depart from me, for I never knew you, which is ginosko, which is intimate knowing, right? Like, if you live in the same house as your spouse, but you never go in the same room, what's the point? What's the point of dwelling together? You know what I mean? So a disciple is someone who abides, which creates a deep desire. And it's crazy because once we get exposed to his love, everything flows out like water. Like, I don't wake up and try to bear fruit. When I am abiding, it happens. And one of the first things that I feel like started happening was repentance. Because I would apologize for everything except for what matters. And that started to change. So this is what I really want to drive home today. The exciting news is that disciples do not come with age limits. I'm going to go all the way to our last slide because we have limited time today. Yes. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll be good. Yeah. I'll just lay a foundation today. Sounds good. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the exciting news, come back next week, is the exciting news is that disciples do not have age limits. I want to give you a teaser though, because that's just not enough. So the Lord gave me, I was eating scripture in my discipleship group, and the assignment was I had to find like six scriptures that represented my walk with the Lord. And this is one of the first scriptures that I ate, because when I was growing up in Ohio, like, I knew that I mattered to the Lord when I was little. And I moved here when I was 9. So, I mean, like, when I was, like, 7, I knew that I had a place in the kingdom. And so that's why I ate this scripture. And what it is Luke 18, 16 through 17. And it says, "But Jesus called the little children to him and said to his disciples, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it.'" And it's important to know what a little child is. And what that is a son or a daughter, a young child, an infant, a little one, ages 0 to 20, a child in training, or an immature Christian. That's me. So it was a gift to my soul. Like, the kingdom of God belongs to us. Yeah, it belongs to us. And I can't wait to share with you guys. This like fires me up. I can't wait to share with you guys what it means for it to belong and for them to find their place. But we have to remember, like, our kids are not here to be babysat. Your children are not in your home as an inconvenience or like somebody you just want to train to behave well. The kingdom of God is hidden inside of their hearts. Like, the word tells us, Jesus tells us, this is not an opinion of man. Like, it belongs to them. And that means we can find it inside of them without limits. I'm totally spoiling the rest of those words. So, okay, I'm going to wrap this up because it's 10:30 and I can talk to you next week. All right. So I did need to reiterate this. Steve and I are going to be, talking It's not a podcast. It's actually a live stream. If you go to our website underneath the live stream chat.
Yeah, it's also the Facebook Live that Steve has been doing on Wednesdays, the premiere.
So Facebook Live, for those of you on live stream now who can't hear Gavin, it's also going to be on Facebook Live. But if you have questions, with all of this teasing that's happened, if you have questions about anything I've said or questions about where we're going, you can actually text those in. And I was given a number. Y'all get your index cards right now. Okay. It's on the screen? Just kidding. Okay. Okay. Ready? It's 405-342-4929. One more time. 405-342-4929. And if you have questions about anything that was shared today, or even just something that maybe you want addressed next week, since I get to do this again, if you would text it to that number, and he and I are going to be discussing the message on there. And also, I want to invite the Students of Grace team up. I know that we didn't get to talk in depth about all of the things, but I want to invite the Students of Grace team up. For those of you who may not know, on Wednesdays, we have students, and that is our 6th graders through our 12th graders that meet here. This next week, we've got a bonfire, and we're going to roast s'mores and hot dogs, and it's going to be fun, and we're going to have acoustic worship, and we're going to build relationship. Oh, like, can you guys come so they can see you? Yeah. Thank you for moving forward. So it was super cool. I was in a meeting with these amazing humans this last week, and they said, man, I think there's some people that may not even know that we exist. And so we wanted them to be easily identifiable. Thank you, Ms. Norma. Easily identifiable to you. We are going to be in the fellowship hall after this meeting today, as well as some of our Kids of Grace leaders. If you're a Kids of Grace leader or volunteer, would you please stand, even if you're not in a t-shirt, just so people can see who you are? Will you please stand? We love you. You're amazing. Thank you. Okay, so all of you are invited to the fellowship hall. I'm going to be there. This crew is going to be there to answer any of your questions. To help you, if you want to be involved in what we are doing, where we're going, please join us. I'll tell you more about that next week. Is there anything else that you can think of that I need to reiterate? I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Steve, and we'll go ahead and go out into the fellowship hall. Y'all just look for the balloons. Please get your kids before you come also. So thank you guys for your time.
Thank you, God. Good job, Annie.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.